This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Saini.
Good afternoon, everyone, to Business by the Bay. I'm Ajay Saini, and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. Payroll Vault handle all complex payroll activities, and they're also helping relevant businesses who are eligible for employment retention credit. For more information, you can go to payrollvault.com/172, payrollvault.com/172. Today, in the studio with me is Dr. Sri Naguneri, who is President and CEO of Millennium Global Business Solutions. He has been delivering for the last 25 years Lean Sigma OPEX benefits to clients worldwide, and he has led change in cross-functional OPEX projects across regional functions for the enterprise, has applied time management skills, leveraged ability to manage priorities and multiple projects in parallel. So he has really a varied experience, and his solutions have been deployed in countries like Australia, Chile, China, Denmark, India, Indonesia, Japan, Peru, South Africa, UK, and of course, in United States. He's based out of East Bay. So, Dr. Naguneri, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. A whole lot better than I deserve to be. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So, you started around 2000?
Millennium.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's why the name is Millennium Global Business Solutions.
Yes, absolutely.
So, what made you sort of start Millennium Global Solutions?
It takes me back to my GE days, General Electric Plastics, which is now called SABIC. And there I got exposed to a problem-solving methodology when Dr. Jack Welch initiated a change management called Lean Six Sigma that he brought in from Motorola. So at that point in time, when they introduced this problem-solving methodology, you can literally solve a problem in a company, problem-solving methodology, leadership skills, and team management. And when I did that in my area of focus in polymer science engineering, I started getting to projects outside of the polymer space when I took an expatriate assignment in GE Plastics in India. That was a big pleasant shocker for me into sales, marketing. So then I realized, if I can do this in other departments, why can't I just do it myself? Then there had to be a reason for me to do it myself, is to leave my job and go into business. The purpose was missing. So when we headed back to the United States in 1999, and without dual careers, we would just be diverging if we continue to go on a full-time job, because each of us wants to progress. So I said, I can work beside an airport because I can consult. Mm-hmm. And then they can grow. And that way you can have harmony in the family. Mm-hmm. That was the reason. So, and then I got in touch with a company that hires you full time. So we're getting into that world of consultancy allowed me to have a network of people who work with me. Mm-hmm. If I were to choose to go on myself.
Right.
So I didn't make the transfer as a step function.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gradual function. So I was very fortunate to run into people that would associate with me, introduce me to clients, have them work with me. And then the rest is history.
Very,
very fortunate for that.
Yeah. So maybe for the benefits of the listeners, you can talk a little bit about this Six Sigma, overall. Some people may be aware of it, some may not be.
Yeah.
So you can give an overview.
Yeah. So in general universal terms, I framed the phrase called 3 Ds: defects, delays, and deviations.
Okay.
Okay. Every company has it, every process. And this technology or this methodology allows you to convert those defects into delights.
Okay.
Okay. Customers happy and delighted. And the delays into deliverables. Not too early, not too late,
mm-hmm.
just in time. And the deviations into dollars or the currency, right? So when you do it on a universal fashion, people accept it.
Okay.
Okay. So I was fortunate to learn the technology that they gave us at GE Plastics into any area where somebody is looking for a job, a student is graduating, a business wants to come up, a corporation wants to deploy. They're all change initiatives.
Okay.
Right? So that gave me two advantages. One is, I can continue to work in the industry that respects this. And the mm-hmm. other part is, I can continue to work with individuals who are like CEOs of their careers. It's mm-hmm. very difficult to get appointments with CEO of companies. So when I found that flexibility, I just got addicted into that. And since then, very fortunate that you get a good reference, and that reference gives you a reference in industries, good work. And you have LinkedIn, where you have all your recommendations. So people, it's fortunate that people look at those recommendations and come. So until now, we haven't had any serious marketing strategy.
Okay.
That's how you ran it to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is applicable for anybody, any person who's willing to be transparent with their data so that we can look at the process and we can solve the problem using root causes, mm-hmm. with a data-driven approach, no matter what it is, right? So that way, first we work on a pilot initiative, something small. And then we sit back and say, how large can we go, wide or deep? And that is where we are today. And today, of course, we use technology tools. Last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
we use technology tools. We work on the cloud. We have systems. We cut down the email, cuts down the phone calls, cuts down the necessary meetings so that they can get the work done. And the most important is enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
That's so important. One example I'd give you is you were asking me, you booked the studio and you're worried if I was going to come, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And you asked. So that was a defect on my side. That was a delay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I said, yes, I did it. And then I shared the ETA, assuming mm-hmm. that you have the system.
Right.
So that's what I want companies to do, to systemize, to go systemic in thinking, not just saying I'm going to fix it and I'm going to be that way. The system gives you increased confidence. And that's what we want to do, is to minimize the deviation by putting a system, because the system goes one or zero. So in areas where that is needed, and there are systems all around our lives.
Yeah.
You go to the gas station, you put your credit card, it doesn't let you take it out.
Yeah.
And when you take it out, it pumps.
Yeah.
So you don't lose it. So that systemic thinking is what Dr. Shingo talked about in the 1930s. Create mm-hmm. systemic thinking. And mm-hmm. that is what we need people to be using their systemic thinking in other areas of their lives into this area. It's a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah. So essentially, there are areas where people plan to be successful. They have a method and they stick to it and they taste the success and they continue. And in the business world, a lot of times we start because we are passionate about something. I make good food, or I like food. I may think that, okay, let me open a restaurant.
Yeah.
So I could be very good, I could be a very good chef, but I may not know other parts of the restaurant business.
Yeah.
How to manage all the ingredients, how much to order, staff. There can be so many other things which I may not be aware of. And sometimes because of natural talent, one may do more right things than wrong and then achieve success. On the other hand, sometimes we end up making big mistakes and then we struggle.
Yeah.
So from your point of view, you look into, as you mentioned, like, you know, the defects, delays, and deviations. You look at things that need improvement, that need change.
Yeah.
And then in order to implement those changes, rather than a person driven, you say that, okay, let's have a system so that if a person is there or not there, still, you can continue and the company can function. Is that
The case. Yeah, there are two types of approaches and methodology that we were exposed to. In the one methodology, which is the basic one, is the process already exists.
Okay.
And mistakes are happening.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go fix that and then put systems around it? The other one is, like you said, I want to start a restaurant. So that's where you want to prevent the defects from happening
mm-hmm.
in a new engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a tool that can be used. It's called failure mode effects analysis, that was devised back in the 80s, the automotive industry group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use a tool and find out, if I were to run this,
mm-hmm.
where could all the mistakes happen?
Mm-hmm.
So we can simulate that and then start putting systemic control over that. And then you will start the process, just like the NASA launches, right? You wouldn't work it once. So when you launch it, you already simulated enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the chance of the defect, delay, deviation happening is so small, the customer won't even see it. So we're not looking at three Ds. We're looking at 3 Ds at levels that are acceptable to the customer,
mm-hmm.
insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it's zero.
Right.
So then in that case, when you're launching the restaurant, you can prevent that so that you get the revenue, and then you can sit back and say, how to make it better and better, because so many restaurants have already been launched.
Yeah.
So why don't we go study them?
Mm-hmm.
So when we were introduced to this process back mm-hmm. in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
we were given 6 weeks to go just benchmark. So they said, we don't want you to reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We'll benchmark it and we'll legally copy it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with them, legally copy it. So then this project is done. So a lot of people will, because of the emotional part, they will start reinventing the wheel. So we don't want them to do that. And then, of course, we have this part where we simulate.
Mm-hmm.
So simulation, benchmarking, and putting systems in place will get us going to a very large extent. That will be so surprising. Increase revenue,
mm-hmm.
Reduce internal cost, and bring customer delight.
So you said that, which is very interesting, that you really don't do sales and marketing as such. So I assume that businesses reach out to you with challenges, with issues, and they want your help so that you can fix those problems. What are some of the typical problems? In other words, the problems can be, like, the root cause can be very different and that you can identify, but a lot of times they may come to you and ask a question that, okay, hey, I'm struggling with ABC. What are those typical questions that they have when they first come to you? Your typical clients or average clients?
Typically, I mean, the challenge is not that they don't know how to solve the problem. Because even when I got started, my mentor said, you must be an engineer, right? I said, how'd you know that? He said, well, you keep telling. So he just said, you need to move to the Socratic approach of asking questions intelligently so that it will draw them to think. Not asking questions, giving them hints.
Okay.
But drawing that critical thinking, which they already have in other parts of their lives. So then I found out that when I ask questions, I'm not conflicting with them. I'm not showing my subject matter expertise, because when I deployed in this semiconductor industry that I have no knowledge of, asking the right questions really helped. Then the other advantage of asking questions is they know they can own their solution. They will not say, he said this, and right? So they own the solution. They're proud of that. And there's a certain dignity with that. So most of the times when they map the process and put the data together like a process log, it will show that they're not having 100% defects. If they have 100% defect, they're going to close the shop.
Yeah.
They have probably 10% defect. So the intelligent question is, what did we do during those 90% of the time that caused 0 3Ds? Oh, well, let me go look at my logbook.
Yeah.
I did this, I did this. Well, can we duplicate it? Do we need a system? So most of the time, it's addressing that variation and not having the log that said, what did I do right? Rather than finding out what caused something that's wrong.
Yeah.
So if you continue doing what you're doing is right, then you won't need to worry about things can go wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to keep it three things in this change initiative. You want to make it easy, you want to make it convenient, and you want to make it economically value adding. Because if one of those is missing, then it's like when you do it and you leave, it's like the car rolling down the hill. When you take your foot off the gas pedal, there's no brake pedal, and somebody has to jump in, and the car is going backwards and it becomes worse. So you've got to be able to hand it over to them. That's when the system comes, right?
Yeah.
That's the sustainable part. So yeah, so that way, intelligent questioning, Socratic approach, working with the team and getting them to draw the solution.
Right.
Rather than, I think in my entire 25 years of this engagement, there was only one situation where they struggled to get the idea and I had to take my graduate school idea to say, how about this? Other than that, I had to, my mentor taught me to resist the temptation to tell.
Okay.
And that's a huge issue, is telling, right? It's not easy to overcome that. So I had to catch myself.
And you have a point, because if you are allowing them to come up with an answer, then they will own it and they will... There is no need to convince them. There is no need for them to buy it because they think it's the right solution. You just need to encourage and then help them implement that. In that case, they already believe in that because it came from them.
Right. So just to make sure I answered your question, it could be anything from designing an app or running a semiconductor process or going underground mining and finding out why there are injuries or deaths, right? Or why is the ore not coming up? What's happening, and looking at, so in the morning I'll be dressing up and presenting to the executive, and evening I could be under the mine with the miners, being safe. So all the way from the sales generation through sustainability, wherever there's a bottleneck, like the doctor operates wherever the blood does, right? So we need to find out where those bottlenecks are, constraints, right? And say once they relieve that, then the oxygen flows, which is revenue, right? And sometimes oxygen can flow, but then you have idling inventory. So how do you cut down that cost? Too many people, too many things. And so when we can de-bottleneck the process, cut down the idling inventory, and do it consistently January through December, then you don't have to worry about seasonal effect. So we need, who do we need as the person that we want to work with? Somebody who has a relentless intolerance to waste.
Makes sense.
Intolerance to waste. Not a large company necessarily. Not really a company that will pay well. But that kind of leadership where relentless intolerance to waste.
So basically optimizing the resources, right?
Optimizing is the final fruit, cherry on the cake. What's stabilizing? So I was sort of use a doctor's example. Stabilizing the patient, right? And then characterizing, understand what inputs affect the output. And then, like you said, getting the optimum conditions. So stabilizing itself will give you tremendous amount of energy and revenue.
Right.
And characterizing will make it much better. And then optimizing will give you the sweet spot, right? So we have ground fruit solutions, arms reaching, low-hanging fruit solutions. Then we have sweet fruit solutions. We don't go for the sweet fruit right away. We take the ground truth first and the arms reaching. Because it's change.
Yeah.
People believe. So different industries, construction, you know, IT industries, you know, technology-based companies, universities looking for projects for students so that when they graduate, they get better jobs. People are graduating, want to get a job. Somebody got laid off. You know, companies that any, you know, wind turbine companies, we were really big into that a few years ago. All the way from selling the contract to contract to contract to making sure that the customer gets the energy that is that he was promised. So only if I had, the only reason I was able to do that is because of that universal approach of being Socratic.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I could never have the subject matter that would need to dialogue with them.
Right.
So that was not my role.
Because different industries, they have like in terms of the products or services will be very different.
Yes.
But at the same time, the good part is from your point of view, the businesses have, I guess, similar issues.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And they have the subject matter expertise.
Yeah.
Yet something didn't happen.
Right.
So then maybe the way they ask questions, the way they get together, the way they map the process, the way they collect data.
Mm-hmm.
Today, data mining is so big, right?
Yeah.
So we just need to go in there and ask the relevant questions so that they can go execute what they know or already execute, right? And the systems enhance their execution.
So do you also see that the clients that you serve, they are having at least a minimum of so much of revenue or like the maximum revenue or whatever? What's the kind of average range that you work with clients with?
It is what they want.
Okay.
Okay. So let us say a company doesn't have enough revenue.
Okay.
Okay. Well, they want to make revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So then I say, let's generate revenue first.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just go on a pilot marketing strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Just give me an area that's the most difficult for you and no matter what you do, it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I go pilot that, right? We go pilot that together.
Okay.
So now they understand if they can create change in an area that has been so hard to create for weeks or years, then the rest of the organization, you should be able to create the change much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about change management, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then that's what we do. So now they have revenue. So then they can afford to pay what we normally charge.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what they pay, they need to see a payoff. Not even an ROI. Payoff means in a certain time, then you get a payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get the payoff, then the discussion on how much they charge or how much we charge them is not the question. It's what's the payoff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got to get people moving from, do I have enough money to pay you?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I just throw money just because I have you? That's not what we want.
Mm-hmm.
What is the payoff? Even if I made you sit here and I paid you to sit here, why would you sit?
Mm-hmm.
So three questions. I am paying you money to sit with me. Why would you sit? I'm inviting you to sit with me at my cost. Why would you sit? Now I'm asking you to invest. Why would you invest? And if they don't have the payoff model, it doesn't matter whether they're small or large.
Right.
Right. So all that came through the engagement with mentors and partners, the thinking that's already there in our mind. But somebody had to unearth that, right? The thinking, getting that critical thinking. So it's basically about energizing the skills that people already have in their lives. They don't want to waste in their home.
Mm-hmm.
In the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now what happens when they come to work? Oh, it's somebody else's money or this or that. So it's kind of that awareness that we need to get them aware so that they enjoy the journey.
Yeah, very interesting. Would you like to share an example or two in terms of like, it could be from any industry, that what they came up with and how you helped so that the listeners can get an idea of some of the things that you have done?
So can it be technical or just general?
It's up to you, but I would say more at a generic level so that people can understand like how you work and how you help.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you an example that my first project. In GE Plastics, I was responsible for how the plastic would flow in a mold.
Okay.
That position is called a rheologist. Re in Latin is flow. So then they had this, you know, the Mark III razor was introduced in mid-1990s, the triple blade, double blade, right? So at that time, GE was providing a polymer in the form of granules. That they will mold. Gillette will mold in their shaving headquarters in Boston. I was in New York. So that product would suddenly burn and the molding machine would have to stop. You got like this 50, 60 molding machines going. Right? And those cartridges, they make the cartridge that holds a blade. Those cartridges are just 5 grams. And they're coming out of 36-inch cavities. 5 seconds, right? So it's a very fast process. And robots come and carry. So there's literally no quality checking. So which means our product, when we manufacture our granule in our plant, has to be so robust that it goes well and the blade fits and you don't get a cut when you go and shave, right? So sometimes we would pass it and it goes to the Gillette factory and they'd fail it. So this is right. What you think is pass is fail out. There's a lot of problems. So I was asked to go and work in that project. So I first made sure that if we pass it, it's a sure pass.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to retest it.
Okay.
And if you fail it, it's a sure fail. Don't just retest it and now it passed and give them the averages because they're likely to fail there. The industry calls it as a round robin testing. So I created a round robin testing between Gillette's testing facility
mm-hmm.
and our facility
mm-hmm.
and a common facility in the industry that would be considered a standard. Guess you know what we found? We found out that they were not cleaning the capillaries where they test this between each test.
Oh, okay.
So we don't clean the capillary chamber, the polymer is there and there it's degrading mm-hmm. and the next test that comes causes a problem. So we said, look, you don't need to test. We'll take away the QA and you put them in other areas. We will make sure that when we release it,
mm-hmm.
we'll release it with such a high degree of confidence that it'll never burn in your molding machines. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into, so we went from a very high defect level to such a low defect level that they could release a product. And,
yeah.
in parallel, they were shipping their product from the United States to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had a factory.
Okay.
Now, I already done an expatriate assignment in Europe, GE Europe, so I knew people there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did a global project where they bring the petrochemical-based polymer from Europe
mm-hmm.
and the petrochemical polymer-based from US, and we compared the two. The customer says, we don't care where the polymer comes from. We want the functionality of the razor blade.
Yeah.
So, we designed the razor blade function. So, we saved Gillette money to even have to ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, the European plant provided. So, not only did we take out the defects, we took out the delays, and we took out the cost. And we are fortunately, we got the Gillette Omni Supplier Award for that in North America.
Right.
So I was, that convinced me.
Mm-hmm.
You were asking me, right?
Yeah.
It convinced me that this is going to be my field of engagement. So people are involved. Teams mm-hmm. were involved. The journey was involved. The logbooks are involved. The philosophy still stays the same. Today we use technology.
Mm-hmm.
Today we use apps. Today we use the cloud. But the philosophy of problem solving is still the same.
Right.
Excepting for me, it changed from an employer to a business person
mm-hmm.
to ask questions, not to tell.
Right.
Other examples of that where we just coached a polymer professional in the Bay Area. He had to leave a company because it was a startup company.
Mm-hmm.
And in 30 days, he made his career transition to a full-time job and he's going to be moving to another state.
Mm-hmm.
And within 30 days, he saw the benefit of how we applied this to his career transitioning, how to design a resume,
mm-hmm.
how to optimize a resume, what to say during an interview,
mm-hmm.
how do you, you know, gesture, video call, an interface,
mm-hmm.
that entire process, what are the 3Ds that he can do? And in his case, he found out it was the soft skills that mm-hmm. he had a challenge with,
mm-hmm.
and it created a breakthrough. So now, you teach him how to fish, he can fish for the rest of his life.
Right.
He doesn't have to come back for this. So this methodology is once you learn it, Ajay,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to come back. It's just some peripheral changes. You can fish for the rest of your life.
Amazing. This is extremely sort of relevant no matter what we are doing, because efficiency is required in all areas of our lives.
Yeah.
Because I could be good at work if I'm spending my energy in a wrong way
yeah.
at home or interacting outside of work with others. It could be anything, and that brings us as humans
yeah.
little sort of, I would say, we can feel we are tired if we are not efficient. If
yes.
we are efficient,
yes.
then we may work for 10, 11 hours and we still feel good. And
yeah.
we may just work for an hour, but
yeah.
if we are not efficient, then we get frustrated and
yes.
they say, oh, I don't know, I can't handle this.
Yeah, 60% of the time we found out that somebody who's working, they're fixing problems that came from upstream. So where's the chance for innovation?
Yeah.
They're already in inspection. So they get frustrated. So it's not about managing time, it's about managing a task.
Yeah.
So with this methodology, you can do the same task in less time, or you can do the same process with less tasks because we took out those non-value-added tasks. So
mm-hmm.
you go home earlier, or
yeah.
you have other things that you need to do, right?
Right.
And when we did that, people realized it's not necessarily about money, it's about the task optimization.
Yeah, excellent. So now we are almost towards the end of the show. So this is my favorite question that I ask that... And you've been doing it, you know, in the beginning of your business journey, you had the mentors who helped you. So the question is, if today someone comes to you and say that, okay, help me, I want to start a business and give me some, you know, I want to get some advice. So
yeah.
What will you share?
It depends on, first of all, look up our LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Look up my LinkedIn profile, shri.nanganeri, right? And read up what we do,
mm-hmm.
and then you know it, the entire history is there. Okay,
mm-hmm.
go to the website mgbs.com, Millennium Global Business Solutions, mgbs.com. Reach out to us through a LinkedIn invitation,
mm-hmm.
as simple as that. And then we will set up a time,
mm-hmm.
and then we want to understand what are your bottlenecks,
mm-hmm.
what are some mutual needs and expectations,
mm-hmm.
and how can we design a pilot
mm-hmm.
change initiative. Mm-hmm. A pilot rarely goes more than 90 days for mm-hmm. a company mm-hmm. because within quarterly you want to look at the books.
Mm-hmm.
And once a pilot is done, we can sit back and say, how do we move forward?
Right, right.
It's a very open engagement. You don't have to be obligated that you're going to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
You can look up some of our articles that we have published and you can read from that benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You design the scope, okay? We are there to deliver to that scope,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very driven by them and supported by them. Sometimes they may want us to design the scope for them.
Right, right.
So we can do that.
Yeah.
So it's a PAL. You want to be a partner or you want us to be an associate or you want us to lead?
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
do you want?
Right, right.
What works in a culture?
Yeah.
So for me, it's very important that the person who brings me in, that their reputation stays the same because of us or gets better.
Yeah. Okay, good. So another quick question. Do you see that when businesses fail or they are struggling, do you see a common sort of a, you know, factor that is mostly the case that, okay, we are not doing well. We have issues because we are not doing ABC or because we are doing XYZ. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you see?
Well, I'll give you an example. I had a failure one time in an engagement and I realized it. I had to take a taste of my own bitter pill. It's called the DIY kit of life.
Mm-hmm.
So tempting. Do it myself. Do it yourself. So it's between prior to that and till today, I have a person who challenges me because you can slip anytime. So they say the taller you are, the harder the fall.
Right.
So try to get away from the DIY and DIM kit syndrome. Find a mentor.
Yeah.
And that will really reduce the risk.
Great. That's a great advice. So, listeners, if you have more questions, you may go and visit the website, which is mgbs.com.
Yeah.
And really, it was a pleasure talking to you, Dr. Nanguneri. And I, you know, I want to thank you for all that you shared today.
It's a pleasure and a privilege. And thanks to all the listeners and people who will be reaching out to us.
So listeners, thank you for joining us today. And we'll upload this show on our website, businessbythebay.live. And until next time, you take care and have a great weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.